This evening I'm going to ask you to turn with me to what some have called the heart of the gospel in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Hear the word of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in the divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Pray with me. Father of all mercy, King of all justice, draw us near now and speak to our hearts, that as we remember the journey of our Savior, we might rejoice in the salvation He has given. That as we consider the struggle before Him, we might remember the fullness of Your grace. That this night we might claim Your promises and rest in Your grace and give glory for the work of Christ and the power of the Spirit. Father, we thank You for Your plan that is above our plan, for Your grace which is beyond anything we can conceive, for Your truth that Jesus plus nothing is everything, and to us salvation. We thank You. Now open our eyes to this word that is constantly true and consistently true for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus plus nothing is everything. Last week I read that there are now, the experts believe now there are about 800,000 words in the English language. You know, the English language is always growing, right? A generation or two ago, it would have seemed silly to utter words like Facebook or Google. But language is always growing, right? There are always new words to be considered. I read this week that a new element has been added to the periodic table. It's named after Copernicus. You'll have to look it up. I believe it was element 119. But a new word was coined recently in honor of a new element that's been added to the periodic table. 800,000 words in the English language. How many of you know them all? The amazing thing is, of those 800,000 words, we're told that the average American gets by on about 2,000 words in their working vocabulary. The 10 most common words in the English language are the, of, and, to, a, in, that, I. It's almost impossible to have a sentence without one of those words in it, right? But that still leaves 788,000 words that for maybe most of us in the room are on the fringe of our understanding of our own language, right? 788,000 words. And tonight I'm betting that we have one of those. It's a one-word sermon tonight, by the way. That'll take me many words to explain it, but one word that we're going to focus on in the text here, okay? A one-word sermon here, this word that I bet you didn't hear in TV or on the radio this week. A word that you could easily say is a $10 word, right? A word that's not common in our language, but important for our vocabulary because it gives clarity to our understanding of God, right? Propitiation. You want to say it with me? Propitiation. Some of you always wondered how to say that word, right? You know, that's the kind of word that ends up in a spelling bee where those really smart kids end up in Washington and the guy asks them to spell propitiation. And they ask for it in a sentence, right? It's part of speech. And then they start off, right? P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. Worked on that all week for you. Propitiation. Now, what I want you to see that's at the heart of this word here, in the heart of the gospel, in Romans 3:25, is this thought. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Look there in the text again. Whom God, that is Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, that's the cross, right? A propitiation by His blood, that's the cross, to be received by faith. The heart of the gospel is this. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And so in this Holy Week, when we celebrate the journey of our Savior to the cross and then to His resurrection, I want us to remember the primacy of the cross and the presentation of the cross this evening. As we think upon the great things that God has done for us, I want us to remember at the center of all human history is His story, Jesus' story. And at least 30 to 50% of every gospel, all four gospels, is spent on this one week in the life of Jesus, because it is the centerpiece of the life of God's people in His church. First this evening, I want you to see the primacy of the cross. This propitiation, right? Propitiation is the promise that God's justice is satisfied. Jerry Bridges tells the story of two guys who were out and up to no good. They were in their car one evening. They were trolling a local neighborhood that was not their own. They were looking for a score. And they found a young lady getting out of her car in an apartment complex. They kidnapped her. They took her to an abandoned building. They raped her. They hurt her. And then they killed her. Someone saw and heard the abduction and got the license plate of the car. Within minutes after the evil act was done, the police were upon these two assailants. They captured them. They took them in. They had the murder weapon, a knife. They had a confession from these men. And so the district attorney decided that he was going to press for the death penalty. The two men were tried separately. The first man who was tried, the defense attorney, tried to impress upon the court that it was really the other guy's fault. This guy was just following it. But the jury did not buy it, and he was convicted on all charges. But for the death penalty to be enacted, a panel with three judges had to be consulted, and they had to unanimously support capital punishment. It was a divided decision, and so the man would not be going to an electric chair. He would be going to prison for life. This young girl, her community was outraged at this decision. Now, whether you think capital punishment is right or wrong is not the point at the moment. The problem in her community was that they did not believe that justice had been served. I want you to know tonight that the cross teaches us this, that justice has been served. Propitiation, that big word we've already uttered, that word really is a word that reminds us that God is satisfied in what Jesus has done because justice has been served. At the cross, God's justice is satisfied. There's a problem, right? The problem for mankind in this passage is sin, right? Notice there in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's the bad news. And yet God offers us a solution. That's the good news, right? God put forward Christ as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This word, propitiation, I know that it's not a word that we use every day, but it is a word that has a full range of meaning. It means to turn away, to appease, to place favor upon. When Jesus took God's wrath at the cross, He stood between us and the Father. He took what you and I deserved. That's at the heart of propitiation. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. You cannot say it the other way around. You can't say Jesus plus everything equals nothing. Right? I mean, you could say that, and that would be true, right? And sometimes that's how we live our lives, right? We want to add this and this and this to Jesus. But the cross makes it clear that Jesus alone stood in the way and took the wrath of God for us. He took God's wrath and anger so that we wouldn't have to. Now, some have a hard time with God's anger here, right? God never throws a temper tantrum, right? God's not like a 3-year-old who squalls all over the floor, flailing arms and legs, screaming at the top of their lung. You ever seen that happen? God never loses control. God's not a 3-year-old with His anger. And yet His anger teaches us something about His love and how serious His love is for His children. You see, at the cross, justice was satisfied. God would not divorce Himself from His justice. Propitiation gives us a view to the beauty of God's justice, but also the extension of God's mercy. You see, at the cross, the primacy of the cross, God was 100% satisfied with the work of Christ. And for you, that is good news tonight. God was 100% satisfied with the work of Jesus at the cross, and we add nothing to that, do we? Because God in Christ is sufficient for all our needs. Here's the cash value. Justice was satisfied, and there is no need to cower in the corner. Why would we celebrate the death of one? Because that death provided our life. We don't need to cower in the corner, right? Justice has been served. And those who are reckoned right in Christ are freed. We don't come in fear. We don't become paralyzed. We don't come in pride. We come to receive. You know, in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went in behind a curtain in the temple where only the high priest could go once a year, and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat so that God would have mercy on the people. In the Old Testament, actually, two goats were taken. One was sacrificed, and it was his blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and it was that goat that was sacrificed for the sins of the people. And then there was another goat who had by the high priest the sins of the people placed on him, and he was sent out into the wilderness. And this passage and this word, God is showing us a picture of that. A mercy extended and a sin sent away. Why? Because one stood in the way and took what belonged to us. Bad news, sin. Good news, Christ's work at the cross. Propitiation is justice satisfied. And yet there's still more to say here, right? Being right with God is a work of Jesus. And so I want you to see not only the primacy of the cross here, I want you to see the presentation of the cross. Notice there, whom God put forward. It was God's idea. The cross, from beginning to end, was God's idea. From God's point of view, there was never a plan B, always plan A. The Savior, Jesus, would go to the cross, right? God put Him forward, we're told here. Whom God put forward as a propitiation, so that we might have favor with God. He made Jesus, the NIV would say, a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, that's the cross, to be received by faith. Winning comes in dying in the economy of Jesus. When I was a kid, I loved to play games with my father because it was time with my father. And my father loved to play games. And my father hated to lose at any game that he played. And so he wasn't easy on the old boy. He would make me work for it. I can remember, I think I was about 11 or 12 the first time I beat my father in a game. He taught me cards. We would play regular card games like gin and rummy. And every once in a while he'd teach me a little poker. And we played pinochle. I still don't understand that game. My dad loved it. My favorite card game was Rook, so we would play Rook. We would play board games, Monopoly. My dad was a tycoon. He would wipe everyone out. Nobody won in Monopoly in my family except my father. He was a gambler and he owned the whole board and he made you pay. But my favorite game was Stratego. Anybody know the game Stratego? Strategy game, right? Kind of a war game. And I would play my dad in Stratego and he would just wipe me out every time. But I studied my dad. And over a couple years, I learned every move my dad had in Stratego. And finally, one time, I can't remember exactly, I was 11 or 12 years old, I was triumphant. I won. I was victorious. And I was excited. And my dad could see it on my face. And he simply looked at me and said, "Good job. Put it back in the box." "No, no, wait, Dad. I won." I had learned the way to victory. You know, you got to do a little dance step when you win, right? And yet Jesus does the opposite. His dance step of victory is by going to a cross. Why? Because their justice was satisfied, but their mercy was extended. Jesus is a king like no other king. His victory comes in laying down. My dad taught me an important lesson that day. I always thought victory came in taking up, in winning, in showing yourself superior. And yet Jesus would show us something different this evening, wouldn't he? Because he went to the cross. Mercy is extended. Propitiation has two sides. Justice held up, sustained, satisfied, and mercy extended, given. You belong if you are in Christ because Jesus has extended mercy by His death. It was never plan B. It was always plan A. At the cross, God's mercy is extended through the blood. It's what we call the great exchange, right? It's what theologians before us have called the great exchange. My sin for Jesus' righteousness. Beloved, you get no better deal than that in all of life. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. What did you give Jesus at the cross? Again and again, we will say it here. You only gave Him your sin, right? By faith, you receive His righteousness. The great exchange. My evil, my bad, my struggle, my difficulties, my missteps, my miscues, my misunderstandings, all imputed to Jesus. In His life. And loveliness given to me. Victory at the cross so mercy could be extended. The great exchange is simply this. As Ray Ortland has said, the God you have offended does not demand your blood. He gives His own in Jesus Christ. God doesn't exalt His mercy at the expense of His justice. At the cross, mercy and justice kiss. At the cross, justice and mercy are both held forth. At the cross, mercy and justice meet. And God is satisfied and we are pleased. Now do you understand why I want you to have this word in your vocabulary? Even if you've only got 2,000 working words in your vocabulary, somewhere in the back of your mind, put that little one, propitiation. P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. Biblically, it should be a part of your God vocabulary. You won't hear it often. But in all of life, it will be meaningful. Ray Ortland says it's the most important word in the universe. You know, my son says we talk about things, they're always asking questions. Dad, what does this mean? Dad, what does this mean? Dad, what does this mean? And what I've learned as a dad is that you answer a lot of the same questions over and over again. Any other dads ever experienced that? And sometimes in my mind, I'm like, when are you going to get this? I told you that yesterday. Now, I'm getting a little older and some of my sons are getting stronger and smarter. And so, actually, it's beginning to turn around, right? My sons are starting to say, Dad, I already told you this. Don't you remember? The truth is the mind is frail. And here's the beauty of the gospel. It needs to be preached to you every day. And so again and again, this weekend and in the days of the years to come, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach the gospel to yourself. Jesus plus nothing is everything. The cross teaches us that. And it is God's beautiful gift to you. Beloved, come by faith. Come by faith to Jesus, and come by faith to Jesus' table, that you may be fed and nourished in the finished work of Christ the Savior. Let's pray. Father, as we come this Maundy Thursday, as we are reminded of You, Christ, our Paschal Lamb, would You remind us of the finished work that is accomplished, that we might find our hope in Jesus, that we might find our life in Jesus, and that we might walk in the love of Jesus. Father, we have nothing to offer, but this night we receive the matchless work of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.